Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 526. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I wish I was eating bacon and eggs right now. I'm so hungry.
It's not. Come on, we haven't been recording for that long. It's not. It hasn't reverted to breakfast time yet. Earl is here.
Howdy. We are just a week away from Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
We are, aren't we? Yeah, we're very close to Christmas.
It is.
I hope you've gotten your shopping done because you're not getting anything delivered now.
Amazon's out of everything, by the way. About. It's all sold out.
And
it's not Amazon to worry about. It's the shipping.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're not going to get anything delivered at this point. And Jeff is here as well.
Hi, guys. Hi, I'm here. Jeff. Now I'm better like Santa Claus.
Jeff is like Santa Claus, though. He's a mailman.
A pitch-perfect Jeff.
I'm this close. This close.
Jeff will shortly be joining us. He is here. He's getting a drink. So
I'm Jeff. I don't drink.
we know that's not Jeff. We are coming together today to do our top 10 list for the PS4, similar to last week where we laid out our top 10s for the Xbox One. We're going to lay down our top 10s for the PS4. No methodology really here. Everyone kind of just went with their own choices. So you guys ready to jump into this?
As one can be, sure.
I guess a quick kind of history lesson for everybody. When did you guys get your PS4s?
I think I got Xbox One and PS4 within like 2 or 3 months of each other near the launch. I still have my launch PS4, like it's the PS4 regular,
base,
whatever.
Yeah.
Busted disk drive basically on it. So the last few games, what few games I have bought, I've bought digitally.
I think I got mine. Which came out first, God of War or Horizon Zero Dawn?
Horizon.
I got it to play Horizon.
So you waited a bit.
Pretty late, yeah.
I got mine. I got mine for Spider-Man. But the God of War bundle came out first. I got mine in April 2018.
Wow.
So Jeff and I were really early because I got mine at launch. I got both the Xbox and the PS4.
I kind of viewed it as like an exclusives machine, and I was waiting for there to be enough exclusives for me to say like, okay, I should finally get it.
Not a bad call because I did. That's exactly how I utilized it, and it was a wait. Before there was anything for me to play on it.
You weren't a fan of the Order 1887?
It was fine.
Is it? You guess it's not going to be on Chris's top 10.
It's not there. It would make it over some other games that didn't make my list, though. I'll say that.
So, yeah, maybe...
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I guess my list would also be pretty truncated because I've only had it less than 2 years. And part of the reason is I don't necessarily care for Sony's style of first-party titles. They are very big into like the cinematic adventure genre, which doesn't necessarily always work for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Just random side note about PS4, since I literally just hooked mine up again like in the last week. I've been playing it again for the first time in like a year and a half. I noticed when I was like, dusting it off and stuff. I'm like, I love the look of the PS4. I love the italicized look of the console.
It's a nice looking machine.
Yeah.
I will say the counterpoint to that is I never know where any of the buttons are.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also true. I would always press the wrong button. Whether I think I was always pressing the eject button and not the power.
And you press the power. Yes.
Yeah. Don't love that.
It's like well designed, but not actually user friendly. Because like, it's a very minor pet peeve, and it's probably just my pet peeve. I don't like the fact that the disc slot is the second groove and not the first groove. I always assume that should be the first groove, or is that reversed? I don't know. But like, and like 50-50 on where I get where I put the disc in properly. Just
bouncing it get it in the groove, Earl. Come on.
But I do like mine. They have the God of War one, which is the nice gray silver one that they had, and the controller. So yeah, it's a nice system. It stands out. Well, yeah, it stands out from the Xbox for sure.
Which was just a block. that original Xbox was basically a VCR, like an old school VCR.
Well, I guess we didn't answer this last week. What Xbox do you folks have?
I got the One X.
Well, currently, what I have the Series X, but before that had the One X, and then before that, a base Xbox.
Hmm. I had all three.
Yeah, I will have all three. You know, whenever I get the.
Well, no, because there was the launch Xbox.
Too, right.
There was the what did they call it? There yes. was one. In the, there was it S?
The Xbox no, the,
one,
S?
The white one.
I thought the S and X came at the same time.
No.
No.
Uh-uh. The S came first. It had the HDR support. It was, it came before the 1X.
And then you got the X.
And that, yeah, then I upgraded the X.
I have the S, which I mostly got it because I wanted a 4K movie player. Right. And it was, you know, it's a very competent one. I'm still so odd that Sony did not support 4K movies.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
That was a weird choice. I also have the Halo 5 Xbox, which is just a base Xbox. But...
Wait, does the PS5 not play 4K movies?
No. Well, no, PS4 does, and I think the PS5 does.
Okay, thank God.
Yes, it does. The PS5 does. The PS4 and the PS4 Pro do not support Ultra HD. That was a big point when they kind of skimped on that a little bit.
I do buy 4K discs, so I want to be able to play them.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, well, let's jump into it. Top 10 PS4 games, Earl. What do you got at number 10?
I'm just going to throw this on here because this is where I started playing the game and it's really terrible. But Fortnite.
The
game's not terrible. The fact is, I said last week I was kind of like waffling on putting it on the list.
Yeah.
But just like thinking about the... Like, I don't want to think about how many hours I put into the game. Like I said, I ended that season at 195. The season before that ended at like 589. So I put in dozens of hours. I'm going to go with dozens of hours into Fortnite. And it has been one of those games that has really gotten me through quarantine. So I think it has a place. I still have it on another list. But, like you folks have an Apex. And in terms of like branding, like I think Fortnite is very, very important on how it uses characters. And I got back into Fortnite because they had the Aquaman season. I continued into Fortnite because they had the Marvel season.
Of course.
I am not as in love with Star Wars, but we have Kratos. Master Chief was announced for it. I'm not huge into Walking Dead, so Michonne and Daryl are interesting gets. Those are things that I will play for and keep it going. It is funny because you find diehard Fortnite fans now who are like, why can't they just go back to like pure Fortnite? Like, you folks are weird. But right. Yes,
who wants that?
The hope, yes, it is. It is. Fortnite is the odd culmination of the Lego Dimension mindset of like, let's just bring all of our toys together and match them together and have fun with it.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Like, and you don't have to like. Today, I just went in to go fishing. I ended up getting some kills while I was fishing, but that was why I was there, because I wanted to go fishing. Like, and I went and was collecting fish. Like, the game is so stupid. It's just, like, so much you can do in it. It's a ton of fun. It's a good choice, Earl. Jeff, what do you got at number 10?
I think I'm going to surprise you guys a little bit. I swear I was not drunk when I made this list.
I don't believe you.
I'm working on it right now. We're gonna have the slurred slurred episode right here. My number 10 is Spelunky.
Okay.
I didn't play like a ton of this game. I never beat it or anything like that. But I think that this is one of those games that helped kind of the roguelike genre to like emerge this last generation and really become popular. I think this is definitely like one of the early ones that did that. And I just think it's really neat. It's like a cool, like I love like the theming of it. Like it's kind of like you're like Indiana Jones or something. Really fun game. It's hard. I suck at it, but you know, it kept me coming back for a little. It put its hooks in me enough to put sink some time into it before I said fuck it and moved on to something else.
So you looking to play the sequel?
I would, hoping it'll be free at some point.
Probably. All right. So
but yeah, I mean,
Spelunky.
But it's weird. Like the reason I didn't buy a sequel because I'm like, if I ever want to play Spelunky, I could just play the first one. I never beat it. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you gonna really do? I don't know. Maybe one day.
Fair enough. My number 10 is Ghost of Tsushima, brand new game. It is the feudal Japan Assassin's Creed game that people have been begging for years now.
Yes, my God, why not?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful looking game. Unfortunately, I burned out a little bit on it, so I'll have to go back. I will return to it, you know, when I get my PS5. And run through those launch games. I will return to that game at some point. But what I had played of it, which was like 20 or so hours, was a ton of fun. And it is a beautiful, beautiful looking game. Super gory too. Very bloody.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tony, what do you have at number 10?
Number 10, Final Fantasy 15. I actually played this game on Xbox, but it kind of seems like it belongs to Sony. Like it's just one of those games like that. This is a franchise that has long been associated with Sony consoles. I don't know. It's a fun game. The boys in the car driving around, fighting monsters, you know, saving the world. I enjoyed it.
Good time. Earl, what do you got at number 9?
Number 9, I am going back on all the rules I established last episode for myself, and I'm going to pick Borderlands The Handsome Collection, which was, it's Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel.
Yes.
Part of it is I had never played the pre-sequel, so it was a new game to me. But, you know, I think I've said before, I really enjoy Borderlands. I think it is a really fun shooter. Term. I like the game, and again, it was great that I got to play through both of these games with a friend over the past year and a half. Even if this was before COVID happened, and it remains a really solid game. The problem with the Borderlands franchise, and really the issue why I picked this over 3, is the humor does not age well, and I think 2 and to a lesser extent the pre-sequel had a balance where 3 is just like we're going all in on internet memes and stuff like that, and it doesn't work as well. But I think if you want to play the best of the Borderlands franchise, the Handsome Collection is a way to go.
Nice. Jeff, what do you have at 9?
Number 9, I have Uncharted 4. I know, like people are kind of down on this game in the years since, but. And it, you know, it was a little long and stuff, but it just felt like, kind of a celebration of like the whole series. I have like fond memories kind of tied to it too, because I randomly found the game on Craigslist a week before it came out. So like, I was like fucking playing it before anyone else here, like any of our friends was playing it and like, you know, I knew about like the Crash Bandicoot kind of, you know, little thing in there like well before anybody, like, so I guess that's like kind of a weird personal angle I got for picking it too. But I mean, if you're doing a top 10 of PS4, it's not crazy to have Uncharted 4. It is one of the big not. PS4 no. games. So.
And I'll be honest with you, you'll hear about Uncharted some more.
Yeah, I know a lot of people prefer Lost Legacy, so I never played that one, though. So
I would recommend it.
It's like, find always, out why like, it it's always like $9 too on Amazon. I should just buy it and hope that my fucking PS4 doesn't spit the disc out.
I think Earl has spoiled it. We will be talking about that Uncharted game again. I don't know if we'll talk about Uncharted 4 again. It was fine. I liked it.
We'll talk about Uncharted.
Yes, Uncharted will make another appearance.
I picked the bloated one.
It's fine.
You did.
The one I played.
You did.
Yeah.
My number 9 is Days Gone, the motorcycle zombie game. I really liked it. I know that it kind of got a lot of shit for its, like, you know, goofy motorcycle culture writing that it has going on in it, but just driving around that world, fighting the hordes of zombies, like they are terrifying. They swarm on you like the zombies in World War Z. But it is just you. You aren't. It's not like when you're playing World War Z and you have, you know, three people with you to help fend them off. It is you. You are trying to get, like, you are either trying to get away from them or set up traps to diminish their numbers so that you can kind of take them out. The story actually ends up being really solid. I think the voice acting and characterizations are well done. It's a good looking game. It's not the best looking, but it's pretty good looking. And those swarms are great.
Run.
Tony, what do you got at 9?
I agree with Jeff on number 9. Yep. I chose the bloated Uncharted game.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm curious.
I didn't play the other one.
Like, okay.
I'm trying to stick with PS4 games that I've actually played, and it's not a long list.
It
so,
is not a long list.
No. So I will say I am glad, or I am God, I hope we're done with Nate Drake. I'm tired of that guy. I think his shtick has worn thin, and I don't think we need him anymore. I think that whole Uncharted universe, which is great. I think there's some good stuff there. Needs to move on from him and tell some other stories that don't involve him.
And I introduced Lost Legacy. Yeah.
We will be talking about more Uncharted, I promise. Earl, what do you have at number 8?
Destiny 2. I don't know why. It's one. I have a real big problem with certain games. I bought Destiny 2 on the Xbox, but I bought Destiny 2 Forsaken on the PlayStation 4. And I think the Forsaken really kind of... Destiny 2, I think, is a core good game. But the DLC, the expansions always kind of expand on it and make it much more complete. And I think the same thing happened with Destiny 2, where it... I think Bungie is the top of the cast in terms of making shooters that feel good. I think we all can agree with that with the Halo franchise, yeah, and now Destiny, that it remains probably the best feeling shooter, especially in this gas market, this games as service. I don't, you know, like, I've played stuff like Warframe, and, you know, we'll get to some other shooters on assist, but Destiny 2 remains top of the cast for that. It's a compelling co-op experience. I like the elements of just those, like, not random, because after a while you kind of realize the same thing spawn at certain locations all the time, but still those instances where it's like you and a friend, and it might be like 8 other people who join you into this random fight, and it, you could be together for like 5 minutes, or you can hang around for a while just going from incident and carrying that out, and it's just like that really fun feeling of like this world is more full and awake, you and whoever you bring in this world with you. And again, some really cool weapons. And I think, again, I've already played a little bit of it, but it does seem like this new change into like the free-to-play model with some of that content seems like another shot in the arm for this game.
I should download that and give that a shot, see what's changed. Jeff, what do you have at number 8?
Number 8, I have Rocket League, which, you know, I know it's like available on everything now, but it seemed to really kind of gain popularity on the PS4.
It was one of those PS Plus titles, right?
Yeah, I think so. So like, it kind of like made the game the hit that it is. And it's funny because it's like Rocket League, I haven't sunk like a ton of time into it, like, but what little I've played, I think is great. And I just think it's, you know, such a basic, fun game. And I've mentioned this before, but it kind of replicates this. One of my favorite things ever was in Excitebike 64. There was a soccer mode. And this is kind of like that. It's like vehicular-based soccer.
Yep.
And it's just like you get it instantly. You could give this game to anybody, and they understand how to play it right away, basically, right? And I don't know. It's just like an awesome, great multiplayer game. It's one that, like, every once in a while, I'm like, I should just start playing that, like, and get into it more. It never really happened for me, but what I've played, I do love, so.
Yeah, Rocket League's great.
Yeah.
My number 8 is a Final Fantasy VII Remake, which just came out this year. It's an excellent revisiting of Final Fantasy VII, or at least the first disc of Final Fantasy VII. it does have a definitive ending, and it does set it up for something else to come that is maybe not what we expect from Final Fantasy VII. It's a beautiful looking game, I think, voice acting wise, very well done. There are points in it where it's like you can see that they obviously skimped on stuff, doors and some of the sky shots don't look great, but where it needs to, characters and enemy designs, it is phenomenal looking, and it plays great. The new action combat is excellent, a great update of an old game. Tony, what do you got at 8?
I actually have another update of an old game. It's the God of War 3 remake. It's like one of the initial titles that they had on the PS4 was that, I guess it's not a remake, it's a remaster, but you finally get the full blood and gore of the last true God of War title, because the new one kind of went away from that whole franchise and everything it was about. This is a game where, you know, you could literally beat somebody to death and watch the whole beating from the perspective of the person who's been beating to death. And it's like about ripping people's heads off and, you know, doing all that stuff that you expected from a classic God of War game.
Well, it also has like the big boss
battles. The big battles, like the fight against Zeus, that epic fight against Zeus at the end is one of those things I'll always remember from that franchise. It's awesome battle that comes back to everything that game was about.
It's really good. Earl, what do you have at number 7?
Number 7. I'm just cheat here and just put SteamWorld Dig and Shovel Knight here. I had them on the list. Again, some crossover. So we're just going to cross it out. Isn't what I said about them last week. And then we'll move into other.
All right. SteamWorld Dig 2?
Yes.
Jeff, what do you have at number 7?
At number 7, I have a game I didn't play until recently on Xbox, and it was a better version of it, but I'm giving it to PS4 because that's where it debuted. And that game is Tetris Effect. Just a really neat version of Tetris. Tetris is always fun, no matter what version you get of it, but here's one that is like you're tripping fucking balls playing it. It's just fucking awesome. Like, it's just like the... And it's not just like the cool visuals and the music, but the way it all kind of works together to kind of put you in this weird Tetris trance where you are kind of tripping it out while you're playing it. It's fucking like, that's, sound like an idiot here, but it kind of is like, it's kind of the effect, Tetris Effect has this effect on you while you're playing.
Yeah, there's a trance-like quality to how it all sets everything up. We'll be talking more about Tetris shortly. My number seven is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it is. I think it's the best Spider-Man game to date. great open world. Spider-Man's totally fun to control. I think they get the character pretty accurate. Boss battles are great. They're fun. You know, fighting random thugs are also fun. Just swinging around the world is enjoyable, and it actually made something enjoyable that I'm not. I normally don't go looking for every collectible, and this game like made them fun to do. Like, and each of the things that you got like was like a neat thing that tied to Spider-Man's history. Like covers of comic books or different costumes. Like it was all kind of tied to the Spider-Man history, and they were worthwhile for me to go get. So I don't normally platinum or 1,000-point games, but I did it for this one. So
I have a feeling we're going to be talking
for sure
several times. But I'll just throw one random thought about it because I just restarted it. Like I said, I opened up my PS4 again. And it's kind of amazing how many moves you have, like just in the fighting and stuff. You know, basically the fighting, like you can do like so many things to the bad guy, and they throw all those moves at you in the first mission. They're just like, you could do this, you could do that. Like every 2 seconds, it's telling you, like, and you're like, it's almost hard to keep track of it all, like at first. But then when you get a feel for the like all stuff you can do, it does a really good job of making you feel like you're Spider-Man.
Yeah, it just feels right. And then like there are good upgrades throughout the game too. Like, so it's not just here's everything.
Just beginning, you have a lot. You can like grab things with your web and spin them around and like slam them down onto an enemy. You can fucking tie a person up, like shoot webs at them. Just hit someone, hold down the attack button and to knock someone into the air and start beating them up in the air. Like it just this crazy like acrobatic fucking combat that. It's almost overwhelming at first, but once you get a feel for
it. Yep. I'm sure we're going to be talking more about Spider-Man, though.
I mean, more Spider-Man, I guarantee.
Tony, what do you have?
Audio.
What happened to your voice, Jeff?
Am I gone? Am I here?
You're there.
You sound like you're a mile away from...
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was a mile away.
Okay.
Well, I hope I was at least sort of audible.
No, we could hear you.
You
just sounded like you were in a hallway. I thought you had moved away maybe to do something. And
No, sorry.
Well, good. Just back. And sounds normal.
Spider-Man, it's good. We're going to talk about it more.
Yes. Tony, what do you have at 7?
I have The Last Guardian.
I forgot about that game.
That was
a lot of people did.
I liked it.
It's a decent game. I mean, some issues moving around the world, but the story of a boy and his giant monster pet. It's kind of a fun thing that shoots lightning
bird
and stuff.
Dog.
Bird dog. Everybody needs a giant bird dog. I would love one right about now.
Sadly, did not make my list, but I really like that game quite a bit. Kind of interested to see how it runs on a PS5. It runs a little bit better.
Runs great. That's actually where I've been playing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Earl, what do you have at number 6?
I have Journey.
Journey.
Wait a minute. That's not a PS.
That's totally cheating.
Isn't
How
it?
Dare you?
Oh, I guess they remastered it, didn't they?
Cheating.
I forgot where it came from.
Like I said, I only paid it on the PS4. So that's going to count for me.
It's fair. Spelunky came out on the Xbox 360 and PS3 too, so Jeff played it.
My rules established as we went out the window.
There's no methodology here.
But no, like I said, I paid it on the PS4. I think I paid it earlier this year, and it's just one of those. I hope this doesn't come off wrong. I hate to use the term game. It's more of an experience. It's more about like just kind of navigating this world and finding these spots, and it's just like very charming and simple, but very engaging in a very unique and different way for the industry.
I agree. It's a charming game. And it's a the experience of playing it is fun. Like when you get somebody to join you and they're there helping out for a little bit and then they're gone.
And I hate the fact that I hate the fact that you never know who it is. Like you could end up playing with friends and you would never know, or you could end up playing with a random stranger across the world and it's all the same to you. And it's like you said, it's like you can have one person who's there, they can pop out and like, you know, half an hour goes, else joins you on this weird journey.
It tells you at the end, right? It'll be like, you were joined by like
such. Yeah, but you don't know, like you don't know it at the time.
Yeah, you find out when you're done, like you played with these five or six people.
Yeah.
It's really neat, like too, because like, yeah, like I could be playing with Earl, but he doesn't know it's me until the end of the game. He's like, oh, I was playing with Chris. Like,
I think I've only played through the game like two times probably, but I think like one time I played it, like I didn't even realize that it was like different people. Like I for some reason
just thought it was the same dude.
yeah.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you have at number six?
At number six, I have Nioh. Because PS4 has its own little exclusive Dark Souls ripoff. I don't know. Not really too much to say about it. It's a straight-up Dark Souls ripoff. But it's doing, like, the kind of feudal Japan thing. I don't know. It doesn't carve any kind of new path. It's more action. It has a more action feel to it, like the combat, than Dark Souls. And I honestly would probably prefer it to Sekiro because that game is fucking ridiculous.
Same type of style though. It's a Souls like game.
Yeah,
got it. My number six is Until Dawn. I really like narrative adventure games. This is it's a narrative adventure game, but it is a teenage horror movie that starts out seeming like a slasher, then it becomes a little bit supernatural. I think it's really well acted. I love the choices in it. It's well written, exciting at times. Trying to keep everybody alive is super difficult. And I think it is kind of the top of that type of game that came out this generation. So
yeah. We're gonna talk more about it.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
Tony, what do you have at six?
I have MLB The Show franchise. I mean, it's fine. I don't like. I normally when I play these, I play as the my player or the creative player, and like send them through their career. And I think MLB The Show, while an awesome baseball sim, like they've done a great job replicating the game and having everything in there that you would want, has actually fallen a little behind some of the other franchises, especially say NBA 2K, in terms of like the things that you do within that mode. Mm-hmm. But it's still an awesome way to play the game. I mean, I love like hopping in there, like maybe playing as a relief pitcher, and you know you can play through like relief pitchers only going to show up in like 45 or 50 games, so you can play through an entire season in a couple days as that player, like, you know, really build a career. So it's kind of a nice way to get into a game and get a lot of sports in a very short time. The game itself, I mean, so much fun. They really know how to do baseball, and there's a reason that this is the only real baseball franchise that's left.
And soon it's going to be a cross-platform.
Yeah, I'm excited to play that on other consoles.
It's going to be weird.
Give me achievements. Give me achievements for you know, hitting home runs.
Trophies.
Dope, but soon you'll be able to get achievements for it, too.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, Earl.
Yeah, on Xbox. You'll be able to get on the Xbox.
But you're gonna get them on the PlayStation. That's the home.
No, if this franchise is on Xbox, that's where I will be playing.
It is synonymous with Sony. Sony.
I know. When we do this podcast again, you know, 6 years from now when this generation is over, I'll give full credit to this game to Sony and put it on my PS5 list, even though I haven't played it on Xbox.
At all.
Which game? Wait, I'm sorry. I missed
MLB.
MLB the show.
Eventually.
It's like sports game zone now.
It's coming to fucking Xbox?
Yeah, it's going to be multi-platform.
What?
I'm assuming this is a demand by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome news. I had no idea.
Well, it was probably like we're not going to let you keep an exclusive license. We want our game to be out there for everyone, but we're giving whoever wants to make it for everyone, you know, the opportunity. They were like, all right, I guess we'll release it for Xbox and PC then.
So, hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's this year. It might be this year, but it's definitely coming. Earl, what do you have at number five?
Number five, I have Overwatch. Wait, you know, what?
Nothing, Earl. Nothing at all.
Again, one of those games that I just, I kind of go back to every now and then, and I just realize like how fun and tight it is. It is kind of, you know, I think Tony mentioned last week with Apex about it being a battle royale hero shooter, but really, when you think of hero shooters, I think Overwatch is the standard of gaming right now in terms of having a great set of characters who are very distinct, who have unique ways to control, but it's also very well mostly balanced, and that you can play as anybody and still feel that you are contributing to the team in some fashion. And I think one of the ways they do this, and it's one of my favorite minor changes, is that there's not a focus on kill-death ratios in this game. Like, you could get paid a game for being a support character and just killing a bunch of people or resing them. You could be that person who just plays defense constantly. And I think that's something that a lot of older games kind of shied away from. And that, like, being support, being medic, being the healer was never seen as a necessarily rewarding thing because you weren't the one in the front line. You weren't getting killed. Like, I love Team Fortress 2, but at the end of the day, it was a kill-death ratio. Healing stuff looked nice, but it's like, yeah, you didn't do anything else to other people. So I love that change. And like I said, I think they don't. Again, this is very much in the vein of Team Fortress 2, but with more. Like, Team Fortress 2 has distinct classes. This has very distinct characters. And I hope that they've had those shorts throughout the year to expand out on those characters and that lore and that world. And again, it's been over 5 years, a constant update, new costumes, experimenting with the different game modes, introducing new characters every so often, that freshening up the game. It's a great package.
They've done a great job with it. I sadly fell off of it, but still seems like it's super high quality. So,
super high quality and still a very dedicated fan base.
Which is good, because like that's what you want for a multiplayer
game. Yeah, I noticed on Pornhub the very, very dedicated.
that is also true. It has a very dedicated fan base in that regard, too. Yeah.
Anyway. Right. Jeff, what do you have at number five?
My number five is a game we just discussed last round, which is Until Dawn. Everything Chris said, and it's like, it's kind of like one of those like Telltale games, but it's like there's actual gameplay to it too, more so, right?
Consequences.
Yeah, and
direct consequences.
Yeah, like I don't know if Chris mentioned this or not, but like the idea that like anyone could live or die, like it's really fun. This is a fun idea. Like, you know, talking to other people, like who lived on your playthrough, like that was like a really big thing with that game.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really love about it too is it does that thing where it's like you think it's like kind of one genre of horror, like it's doing like the slasher movies, and it kind of is, but then it becomes more. More supernatural element, like a kind of monster movie element. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. I felt like cool, like, kind of twist to the formula, too. Like, and yeah, like everything Chris said, I think it's one of the best examples of that type of game and of horror games this gen. Like, it was a nice surprise, honestly. Like, I don't think people were expecting much of it before it came out.
Especially, I mean, we'll get into the legacy at another time. With the, not Until Dawn, two games that the company did today are on Supermassive. I think I forget who, but one of the other things that they did is like it has a really big budget for that type of game. Like it got at the time some pretty decently well-known actors and actresses.
Looks great too. Like it does, visuals,
which is part of the problem with some of the later games because you could clearly tell they didn't have so many money backing it. They still get some of the top-notch quality. Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there now. That is the next entry on my list. So I'll just talk about it here with you folks. but yeah, and I think one of the things it does, and this is, I mentioned, you know, I had ages ago, I did the Alpha Protocol thing. And one of the things I said is I like the fact that when you make decisions in games, it doesn't do that thing where, like, Mass Effect, where it's like, we're going to stop the game and everything's going to hold on until you make this decision. Sometimes you're forced to make decisions, and it's like you make that decision and you do that action, or you don't. But you're gonna screw it up. So there are fail states in making decisions or doing action.
And I like
when games implement that, because then it's like, and you know, like sometimes with these story driven games, it's like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, sit my controller down, I'll read, and then like when they ask me to do something, I'll pick it up and press X or whatever. But this is like you have to, you know, you have to like balance it. There are parts where you need to. You know, like, I think there are parts where you need to control it down to kind of cheat so that, you know, like, you don't get alerted or anything, don't notice you, and you have to make decisions, and it's like, and it, I forget if it's this one or the other games they did, where, like, some of the decisions are kind of thrown around your head, and it's like, you kind of, it's like a way to do a date, where it's like, oh, yes, you have the decision, but it's not necessarily clear in your head, so it's not clear to the player either.
Yeah, they do some really interesting things with choice and consequences in it. So, great, great game. Let's see. That was Earl's 4, but we're still on 5.
Yes.
My number 5 is the Ratchet & Clank reboot. It is not a remake of the original game. It is an entirely new game that kind of like reboots that franchise. And I think it's fantastic. It looks great. It plays like classic Ratchet and Clank, but better, because it's now, you know, with everything that Insomniac had learned in making Sunset Overdrive. And then they took everything from Ratchet and moved that over into Spider-Man. Ratchet has been one of Sony's most consistent franchises for 3 generations now. And it's going to appear on PS5. Super excited for that one. But this one, excellent, excellent game. Don't watch the movie tie-in, though. That's bad.
You know,
I'm not seeing that.
I did not see it either. And I think it was like available on Netflix pretty early or something like that pretty early. I was just like, I don't give a shit. But and it's funny because like those games feel like almost like Pixar movies and shit. So it's like, why do you need a movie? it's funny. Like I like this game a lot. Should have made my list, but I guess I needed to make space for Spelunky.
There you go. I mean, Spelunky over Ratchet, I guess.
I guess I fucked up.
It happens. Tony, what do you have at number 5?
Okay, could this be funny? I have Ratchet and Clank.
Really? Yeah. Nice.
No, I really enjoyed it. I actually ended up playing through it with my son, who is addicted to it. Great game. Like, run around in the world, collect stuff, shoot things. It's just a fun game to play through.
Also, true of, like, the previous entries, too, like, these games have awesome graphics, like super bright and colorful and clean looking. Like it's just both the cutscenes and the gameplay just like really pop.
Yep, they're somehow like this, despite being, you know, this cartoony kind of, you know, animated, almost seemingly kids based cartoon game. they're showcases for the systems that they're on, because they're always beautiful looking.
It's not, you know, it's not like one of those cases where it's like, oh, it's an art style like Wind Waker. Wind Waker still looks great because the art style. It's like, no, these games are like kind of like technical powerhouses almost. Yeah. Like, they just look fucking fantastic.
And I mean, the art style does help, like, because they still look good. Like, go back to the PS2 games, like, they still look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just, you know, technically they keep upgrading and then looking better and better. And the PS5 game looks so good. All right. Earl did his number four.
Until Dawn, just to recap.
Yep, Until Dawn. Jeff, what do you have at number four?
All right, my number four, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that'll have this game at all on any of their lists, but genuinely great game in my opinion, and that is The Witness.
Oh, I just vomited. I'm sorry.
It's available on other things now, but I think it started only on PS4.
Yeah, it was like PS4 and PC.
Make it available nowhere. Kill it now.
I think it's great. I think it's, I don't know, really neat. Like, it's just basically line puzzles, the game, but like, kind of combines that with like this island exploration game. Like, I think that was really clever. Some really like fucking crazy puzzles in it, and just crazy shit in it. Like, you find like these weird movies of fucking scientists talking about shit from the past. It's like, what the fuck is this?
Most self-obsessed puzzle game ever created.
Yeah, you know, and Jonathan Blow is a little pretentious, but I like that there's like artists out there doing that shit, kind of like
Yeah,
a little. You open a dictionary and you look at pretentious, and it's John Blow giving you the finger.
Like, even if they're kind of full of themselves, you know, there's very few artists that are making things where they don't worry about, especially like in video games, where like you're not worrying about the mass appeal of it. You're like, you're doing something very specific and high minded that will probably, a lot of people like will not respond to or whatever, you know, like, just like
and you know, Jonathan Blow being a big name indie developer, just like the audacity to like release this first person line based puzzle game is insane. Like, I mean, I think the puzzles are good. I don't hate it like Tony does, but it's just crazy that he was able to push that out there,
and he dared to ask for what at the time was kind of a premium price. It was like $40 new. Yeah. I mean, now Tetris is $40 new. But yeah, just to make it such an esoteric, like, you know, very few people are really going to like this. And it turned out a lot of people did like it. I know, like, I'm probably the one here that, like, only one here that really loves it. But I remember at the time, a lot of people really did love it. And it was a game that had people, like, busting out notebooks and drawing shit to figure stuff out.
I do like when a game can unite the gaming community into trying to figure out and solve puzzles together.
Yeah.
You know, it's so divided, but when they can come together like that, it's fun to see.
Yeah. I still really love it.
Me too. I think it's awesome.
Cool.
All right.
I'll sell it.
My number four, also probably the only one on here, probably the only one that loved the game, I think, at all, is Pyre, the last Supergiant game. They just released Hades. It is the narrative NBA Jam, fantasy NBA Jam, but turn-based game. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but I really like the sports game concept that they had going for it. I think that the actual NBA Jam type setup that they had was interesting. It was fun to play. There was a strategic element to it. And then the story is just great, like great characters, great idea behind everything. You know, as it progresses, your team members that you have end up going forward, like into this afterlife type situation, and so like you have to bring on new players into your team, and you're playing witches and Vikings, and it's crazy. Art style is great. I know Jeff is not a fan of their art styles, but
yeah, I don't know what it is with me and their games.
This one though just clicked for me. I think it is their best game. I know that is very not going to be taken well by a lot of people because people like Transistor and Bastion and Hades. But Pyre really clicked for me.
I've always found, like, I've never even looked up like a trailer or anything of it, but like just hearing you talk about it over the years, I'm just like, that's insane, dude.
It's like another goofy ass. Like, it's funny that like you have The Witness, which is this like weird line puzzle game, and then I have this like turn-based NBA Jam narrative adventure game.
That's a wild, like, that sentence doesn't make sense. But I love NBA Jam, so maybe I should try it. I actually had the balls to put the NBA Jam cabinet on my Christmas list. Like, hey, you know, if you want to get me something special.
I thought you were about to say you had NBA Jam on your list. I was like, to say, that's crazy.
I mean, NBA Jam rules. Like, the one that was on 360, I think it was. You could play it on Xbox. It's great.
Yeah, that redo. It was better than Blitz. Definitely better than the Blitz game they put out.
I'm allergic to all these games you guys are talking about.
And if you don't like Blitz,
or NBA Jam is great.
No, I like NBA Jam.
Tony, what do you got at number four?
I can't even remember what I have. I have Ghost of Tsushima.
Wow.
Why is that?
That means it's going to be pretty high on your game of the year list, I'm imagining.
I mean, it's very possible it'll be high on my game of the year.
Yeah, I feel like I've solved some of the puzzle here for the end of the year.
I don't know that you have, because I play a lot of PC games. So,
Crusader Kings 3.
Exactly. That could be on my list somewhere, too. But yes, Chris talked about this earlier. I think he gave a really good summary. The only thing I'll add, I love walking through the world and like having random sword fights with people. There are so many duels in that game. The boss battles are pretty, they're almost fighting game style, and it's like a completely different style from the rest of the gameplay, which is interesting. I think it's a good decision, which kind of changes up the gameplay at points. And there's just so much to go and do and see in the world. And this game was also my first platinum, so
nice. Damn.
A great game, Jeff. You should.
Me not to buy it when it was on sale.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Didn't I tell you to buy it?
You were the only one. Well, like, honestly, what people said about it made me go, okay, no, I definitely do not need to play this.
No, and at the time you were like, should I get it? It was like, was it $40 or something? Yeah. And you were a week out from getting like a different game. Not even a week. It was like 3 days from getting a different game.
Yeah.
And it's like,
these huge games too, you know?
And it is old school kind of Assassin's Creed, but updated. So like that, knowing that you don't like old Assassin's Creed is like, I would be like, don't buy this right now. But at some point, like if it drops down to like $20 or something, and you can play it on a PS5 or whatever, I would say get it then, try it, because it is a beautiful game. And you like exploring, and one of the things this does that Assassin's Creed doesn't do, Assassin's Creed's terrible with this, because in Assassin's Creed you climb to the top of a mountain or a tower or something and it reveals all the map. This doesn't really do that. Like, you have to go to each area, like, so you have to explore to unlock the map. And I know that is something you like doing. You like kind of just wandering around and finding.
I do love my towers, though. I do. Like, that was a great thing in Breath of the Wild, too, with those towers. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, any game that's exploring an open world, I'm interested in. And the game looks great. Like, I've watched reviews of it recently. And I'm like, that is a, like, stunning-looking game. I imagine it'll look better on PS5, so.
But, yes. I do think you should try it. I would wait a little bit for you, just knowing that, you know, you're not a fan of the old style of Assassin's Creed, though. Earl, what do you have at number three?
I pray to the God of War in God of War. I will say this much. I am not as I love the original God of War setup. I prefer to comment in that. But God of War I hate when things just rename themselves the same thing again. God of War 2018.
God of War 4.
Is God of War Sun Edition. Boy Edition, I should say.
The
boy.
Is that what you said, Chris? God of War Boy.
No, I said God of War 4. But it is God of War Boy. Girls, right.
Would that not be God of War Ascension?
Oh, that's like a prequel, though.
It's just because there's also like the PSP game as well. So
yeah,
who knows? There are several God of War titles, but yes, the God of War 2018. You know, like I said, I prefer the combat of the original God of War sets of games, but this combat aside, you know, it's a one. It redeems Kratos. I absolutely hated Kratos in the previous God of War games. Loved the games, hated the main character. Because everything that happened to him was always his fault. He was an absolutely terrible character who had his rage just, you know, carry him through. And I will say this, you know, Uncharted 4 is not on my list, but Uncharted 4 and God of War are both two things I want to see more of in video games. And I think Gears of War does it later on with 4 and 5, where you actually take these characters and mature them up and see how they change throughout life. And this one, giving him a son, giving him a family, seeing how that is ripped from him and seeing the journey he goes on, I think is a lot more compelling, and it makes for a much better character. So on the basis of actually still enjoying the combat, not as much as I did the old one, and now having a Kratos that I actually do sympathize with and actually do enjoy having as a main character, made for a much better and richer experience for me. And again, I think like going in that, and again, I keep on harping on the comment, but I do love the Thor hammer thing where you can throw your axe and you can have a call back to you. It's such a great feature, and I love that it comes from... sometimes video games need to be video games, and you don't need to worry about the real-world logic. If you threw your axe like 10 minutes ago, and you... I mean, eventually it does come back to you anyhow, but...
It always comes back.
It always comes... But the fact that you could just call it from anywhere, and it will just kind of, like, come to you, and then you can sometimes hear it clinking and clanking on random stuff it hits along the way. It's such a great feature that I'm
the
sure
fact,
everybody...
The fact that they work it into some of the puzzle solving too, like making it come back in a certain way in a certain
way. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's done it, who like you throw it and you just call it back for the fun of it every now and then. It was a great feature, but it's a great game, a really good action game. But like I said, more than anything, it really redeemed the character of Kratos for me. And I think that's a huge ordeal after not liking him in the first three games.
Nice. Jeff, what do you have at 3?
I have this game. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called God of War. I agree with, like, I didn't even think of that when I picked it, but, like, I agree with, like, what Earl was just saying, like, the whole, like, re-examining of a character. Like, the thing that reminds me of, like, I think the best example of that is the... like the film Unforgiven, the way like Clint Eastwood got to re-examine this like kind of Western icon that he had made and say, you know, all those movies were kind of bullshit. That's kind of like how Kratos felt in this. It's more like, I don't know, like the old ones were just like, fuck yeah, I'm killing people and I'm fucking bitches. And you know, and here it was like, I don't know, re-examination of that character.
He's more reserved and
yeah. But the other thing I love is just like, I love series that totally reboot like this. And we're just like, we're redoing this in a modern way. Like I'm probably with Earl that like, I think the gameplay of the old ones I kind of prefer, but I don't know. I just love when I like, you know, like Tomb Raider did it, Resident Evil 4 did it. Like I love seeing a series kind of like reinvent itself. This is a super high quality game. This is like the showcase, and this is kind of like, or another example of that, Breath of the Wild. Like Breath of the Wild is like this complete reimagining of the series. This is kind of the one that was on PlayStation 4. So,
yep. My number 3 is Uncharted: The Lost Legacy.
I hope you say God of War.
Not great. Not on my list.
Not on your list.
Not on my list. We've had this discussion. I fucking hate boy. That kid.
He hates the kid.
Boy.
Yeah.
God of War boy.
The boy.
But part of it is like the movie does want, the game does kind of, not that you dislike him, but you kind of understand, like, it's a strained relationship, and he's trying to get his father's love, and his father doesn't really know how to give it. It is very compelling.
Yeah, because that kid doesn't deserve love.
Oh, wow. Chris has the daggers tonight.
No. I just found him annoying. It's a good game. There's a lot of good PlayStation games. It did not make my top 10. It's fine. You guys will represent it well, I'm sure, as two of you have it at number 3. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy. We haven't talked about this, right? We talked about Uncharted 4. I like this game a lot more than Uncharted 4. It's not as long. I think the two leads in it are way more interesting than Nate Drake. I enjoy the combat better because you have a partner this time and she is not useless. So the combat is not like drawn out and like they're still bullet spongy, but you're having some help, so they go down a little bit quicker and there's more exploration. I think that the puzzles are a little bit better than Uncharted 4. And as I started out with this, it's not bloated. Like it has its short story to tell. It gets in there and tells you the story and then you're out, and it doesn't drag on and on and on. Like Uncharted 4 just kind of went on for like 2 or 3 hours too long. After what should have been the climax. And this has a nice concise story. And I'd like to see the ladies from this be the leads going forward. Tony, what do you have at number 3?
I have this game you may have heard of. It's called God of War.
God of War.
Yes, I knew it. I'm like, Chris is going to be the one that breaks the chain on this one.
He did. I don't really have anything else to add. The one thing I guess I will throw in there, this game's open world is a little disappointing. I wish there was more to it. Like, I love the gameplay. I love moving through the story, but there's not a whole lot in the actual world that really makes me want to play in it. It just kind of, the stuff that's there, it just feels like, let's do more of the same thing over and over again. It just doesn't feel like it's fleshed out.
God of War 2, baby.
We'll see. Maybe kill the boy.
Boy!
number 2, Earl.
It's a little game called God of War. it's Uncharted and Lost Legacy. I don't have a ton to add. I will say this much. I like Nathan Drake as a character. I think Nathan Drake was better on the PlayStation 3, and more in the sense that like a lot of video game characters then became Nathan Drake after Nathan Drake, so he kind of grew old when there was more and more people like him. And Uncharted 4, I like that it puts the cap on him. But yes, a lot of it is bloated, a lot of it is weird. There's a lot of segments where it's just like they where you want to go for the cinematics element over like an actual really tight video game. And I feel like The Lost Legacy is just like, it's one of those games where you trim the fat and you just make a much better experience. I think because these are two characters I hadn't spent a lot of time with, it was also refreshing to see them. And I will say from what they are not at, I don't want to say Drake is dumb. Drake is lucky. I feel like they are a lot more competent as adventurers than he is. We're out of the time. He just happens to luck into stuff. It's the old Indiana Jones stuff where it's like, you'll get there in the hardest and most confusing way possible, but you will get there. And again, it's a better, I think it's a much more compact, much more competent single player. And then it takes the multiplayer from Uncharted 4 anyhow wholesale. So you don't, so it's like, it's the same package in that regard. And I don't know, I don't think we talk about, I'm a fan of Uncharted multiplayer. I think it's a ton of fun. I don't play it as much as I used to. I used to play 2 and 3 a ton. But yeah, I think the covered base third-person shooter online gameplay is a ton of fun. There's a lot of different modes, and I'm happy that they kept that on. I also like that they have, I think what their co-op mode is called, but like the challenges where you get different missions as you're playing through. So it's like, take out these guards, kick these things, and again, it makes use of all your traversal tools and all of the different types in Uncharted.
Great game. If you like Uncharted, you should definitely give it a play.
Jeff,
what do you have at number two?
My number two is Bloodborne, which is probably a lot of people's number one. Maybe not on this podcast, but I think
on a real podcast, yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there that, like, it's an easy, obvious choice for number one. And it almost was for me. Actually, it was until, like, earlier today. But, you know, I think the reason it doesn't quite make number one for me is because it's not my favorite Souls type game. Like, it's probably my least favorite. And I know, like, for other people, it's the opposite of that. I just don't like not being able to. I mean, there's shields. I don't know.
It's more of
aggressive. It's more aggressive. You need to play more aggressive,
right? Yeah.
Which I don't like. But it's still really awesome. Like, it's still that type of game, and it's still an amazing example of that type of game. And it's one of the few ones that is different than the others. And awesome, like, horror vibe. Like, again, I don't really have much bad to say about it, and the only reason it's not quite a number one is, for me, it's like, I prefer Dark Souls, but I still think this game is really awesome. It's so cool that, like, you know, Sony has, like, an exclusive like this on their system. If I were Microsoft, I would do anything to get some sort of exclusivity with with From Software. Get Bloodborne 2 on Xbox or some shit. But
I think Sony actually owns the Bloodborne.
Owns Bloodborne. Then whatever.
They need
get
they
your
need
made up make... Elden Ring game.
Yeah, sign that up.
Bloodborne is just it's a fucking great game, but cool. Just got edged out.
All right, my number two is Horizon Zero Dawn. Is it Guerrilla Games, the makers of Killzone? They've made an excellent open world adventure game that takes elements of Zelda and elements of Assassin's Creed and just blends everything together in such a perfect way. Awesome enemies, like these robot dinosaurs and
giant robot dinosaurs, yeah. With cannons on them. Come on.
And just the combat, like the way you can set up traps and you're using a bow and arrow, and I think it's like super awesome, and it's just a great style of game that really just works. I think it's a blast. I'm looking forward to the sequel. So that is my number two. Tony, what do you got?
Spider-Man.
Does whatever a spider can.
I've long wanted a superhero game that felt like this. I mean, the Arkham games are fine, but I'm more of a Marvel guy than I am a Sony guy. Or Sony guy.
DC.
DC guy.
That's this has been a long
podcast. It's really late now. But you know, moving through the city of New York is awesome. I think the web slinging in that game is a unique feeling. Something that anybody who likes games should try to experience, because it is just so cool to just move through the world. Like, maybe the combat in the game's not awesome. Maybe the story is, you know, it's, you could probably, if you've read some comic books, know exactly what's going to happen. But it's just a fun world to travel, and there's just so much to do and see. It's just a great, great game.
Nice. Earl, what do you have at number one?
Spider-Man.
hold on. Jeff, what do you have at number one?
At number one, I have a game. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Marvel's Spider-Man.
All right, there we go. Okay. Earl, Jeff, tell us about Spider-Man.
So, like, it's Spider-Man Love Fest time. I was just being silent when Tony was talking because I knew I was going to be talking about it again. I mean, I guess I'll just start off. I'll say, like, to me, it's like, if you look at most people's, like, favorite PS2 games, like, their top 10 PS2 games, one of those is Spider-Man 2. It was like a surprise movie tie-in game that was great. Mm-hmm. And this is like, if you like, they clearly just wanted to do the best possible version of that. Like, was it Insomniac, right, that made this?
Yep.
Yep.
They wanted to just do like the best version of what that idea was, and they did. It's just like a, and the reason for me, like, it goes above Bloodborne, is it's super accessible, like, you know, way wider audience can enjoy what this is. And it just feels like a great update of that PS2 era open world game. It's like, go get these 55 backpacks, you know, here's a crime happening. And it's just like the controls feel well, like, feel great. And like the game, it just feels like at home on a PlayStation system. Like, it just, Spider-Man feels right on Sony's system, you know, like, so that's kind of why I ended up at number one for me.
Just gonna be honest. It is one of the absolutely fantastic ways to travel in any video game. I assume we've all did this, where you just kind of go around and you just swing from building to building, doing the different tricks, seeing the different ways you can shoot yourself up a building, down a building, through a building, around a building. It's an amazing sense of speed. It's an utter joy just to go in and mess around with that open world, give you that true kind of sandbox feel.
It's so easy to like run up buildings too. Like, you just hold on. Yeah. If you are only R2, you just go flying up the side of a building. Sorry to interrupt you there, but like,
I'm more of a DC guy. I think I said it before. I said, I think actually when we had the game of the year discussion, I prefer to Arkham games to Spider-Man, but Spider-Man is a much different character than Batman. Batman is very stoic. Batman is very meticulous. Spider-Man gets to be goofy and have a ton of fun. Spider-Cop is one of those jokes that you think would get old, but remains charming throughout. I love the way that, I think it just came out recently, that they recorded dialogue two or three different ways, like when you're just standing still versus like when you're actually swinging, to have that exhaustion in his voice. And it's just like one of those minor touches that feels so great. I have a lot of the boss encounters. I think it's one of those things that the Arkham games don't always nail, but I think Spider-Man does a good job of. I think, you know, they do a good job with bringing the Taskmaster in. I think, you know, it's an interesting story. The hang ups for it are minor, but still, you know, like, some of the times when you control some of the other characters aren't as fun because, I mean, out of like stealth missions or something stupid, but again, doing a very impactful story and actually being bold with the story. And I don't know, but like the ending and doing something that I was surprised they were able to get away with in the game, and not like finding some way to retcon that, I thought was also impressive for the game. It is a fantastic experience.
Agreed. Spider-Man's awesome. All right. Well, that was Earl and Jeff's number one.
But you didn't love it enough to give it number one.
No, it was my number seven. my number one, though, it's probably not a surprise for you guys. I love a simple arcade type game, score chase type game. And I've been singing this game's praises for 2 years. Tetris Effect is my number one PS4 nice. Game. I'm still playing. I'm now replaying it on the Xbox. It's fantastic. I love it. You know, it is, as I talked about this with Tony outside of the podcast, I think it's just Tetris, but it's also, there's something else about it. Like, as Jeff said, like, you get into this trance with when you play it, like you go into, you kind of become part with the board as you're experiencing the lights flashing and the music changing, and everything kind of works in concert.
It's kind of giving you, like, I'm telling you, it's giving you some of, like, the psychedelic experience. Like, it's kind of, like, it reminds me a lot of doing, like, LSD or something. Like, you know, not as intense, but it's, like,
right.
It's kind of the same idea. Or another weird thing that I would compare it to is, like, staring at one of those, Remember those like 3D paintings in the 90s where you had to like unfocus your eyes to like see what the fuck the picture was? Mm-hmm. It's like that. You just get into that weird where you're not even like.
It's a schooner.
Yeah. It's like. Yeah, it just kind of like gets you into like a trance. That's the only way to describe it.
Yeah. And just like, you know, I don't know if it's something wrong with my brain, but like I have a way of just kind of like locking in on these types of games, like Pac-Man Championship Edition, another one where I can kind of just like meld into the game and it just works. It clicks for me perfectly. So
I do find the later levels hard though.
They can get difficult. Yeah.
I'm not fast enough. Like once you get to like speed 11, can't do it.
Wait till you get to the ending portion where they're at speed 15 and just immediately dropping.
No, absolutely no. I can't do it.
So much fun. So
I was trying to play it on easy to like beat it and like no.
And
I beat it on normal. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah. Even on easy, I think it gets up to like speed 12 or 13 on that last level.
Once they're falling fast like that, like I just go like I keep spinning them. I'm like ah.
Right. Because
just fuck it up. It's just like
you at that point you've lost the ability to think ahead. Like that's part of the thing with Tetris is you need to think one move ahead each time. Yeah. And when they're dropping that fast, you kind of lose that ability. So it's just you're just playing on reflex at that point. Yeah, it's great. Tony, what's your number one?
You mentioned it earlier, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
I don't know, something about roaming around a world fighting giant robot dinosaurs and blowing pieces off of them and then, you know, using those pieces to do other things, like perhaps blow up the next dinosaur.
Maybe blow up
the whole arrow mechanics in that game, awesome. I don't think I've ever played a game that had archery quite like that. It was super well developed. All the different kinds of arrows, like switching between the type that you would need to take down this particular creature. Researching them to figure out what their weaknesses were. And that story in that game, I just love it. I love the way that they tell how the world ended and what it all comes back down to. And I can't wait to see what they add to it in the next game.
Did you play the expansion?
I did not, no.
I need to go back and play that. I haven't played it either, but I do have it now. It just looked pretty cool to like go and play in the snow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are our 30 plus games for PlayStation 4. Another pretty diverse list. Definitely some crossover there. A little bit more than with the Xbox, but some crossover there. And we'll be back next week with our joint games of the generation. So that'll include PS4, Xbox One, and we are allowing PC, Wii U, Switch, whatever, as long as it took place in between the launches of this console generation. You guys got anything to add before we cut out of here?
Sleepy time.
Yeah, it is sleepy time. We've gone over a little bit. Jeff, say goodnight.
Me and Earl got it right. Good night.
Good night. Good night.